want some, get some.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates, because of course they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
It is a first down.
Because when you're in East Carolina, you go for it every time. When you don't coach in East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play in East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You've ever been on. I can promise you that.
And it's crumple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Yeah, 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 yeah. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate crying up my soul, and I don't back down not at all. Find out when the cannons explode.
All right, welcome in to the Sports Objective here on Wednesday night. Glad to have you. And ladies and gentlemen, the man that's always full of jokes and laughter. I'm talking about Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you?
I'm definitely full of something. What's going on, Dave?
I was going to say the same thing.
I'm glad
you know yourself.
I know myself.
Glad you know yourself.
I do. I know exactly who I am. I'm here mm-hmm. to spread
holiday cheer.
The holiday cheer. I'm here. I'm here to spread hate. I'm here to, bad manners. I can't even trying to remember the adjectives. Anyway, screw it. I'm here to be me. What's going on, Pirate Nation? Kyle from LaGrange and the Hizzle.
So, by the way, we bring in Stevie Fly. We have a thing that we talk about off air about Kyle being unleashed. Kyle unleashed. In fact, if we ever have a paywall, we'll do that. You can buy.
That's on the Patreon level. If you want, if you want to become a Patreon member, we'll give you Kyle Unleashed. I mean, you'll see the behind the scenes Kyle from LaGrange. But what's up, guys? Lot to talk about tonight. what a week! What a week!
Yeah, and it's only Wednesday. Johnny Robertson, Haymarket, Virginia. And eventually you'll be down in Greenville. He's everywhere, man. He's the people's champion.
How'd you know I was in Haymarket? Because I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be in Greenville.
He has a tracker on you.
I have a tracker on your car.
Well, yeah, I am still here. I'm leaving tomorrow for the big game. We got the big game tomorrow night against App State. I usually go the day before to make sure that, you know, if I get a flat tire or something on the way down there or whatever, I there's no chance I'll miss the game. But I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to leave in the morning. Hopefully everything will be okay. And I'll get down there in time for
what makes you think you might get a flat tire?
You know, Stevie, I'm just thinking of the worst thing that could happen.
That's not the worst thing that could happen.
Missing the App State game, that would not be good.
There's lots of things way worse that could happen on the road.
Now you're putting me on my head, Kyle. I was going to have a relaxing drive tomorrow.
Yes.
Now I'm going to have to think about all
you
the things
could be
that
sex
might go
trafficked.
Wrong.
You could be sex trafficked, JR. So you don't want that.
I don't think that's going to happen.
This is a big market for 50-some-year-old men, I hear. Somebody's going to be offended by that. Look, sex trafficking is not funny. It's not funny. I'm not making light of anyone that's ever been harmed, because that's going to be put on me next. I promise you, I'm firmly against it. It's well documented. But that's just a joke on JR's
I do have to drive through Northampton County, so I guess I should.
Watch out for Mr. Fluff.
I was going to say, he's going to Rich Square.
Yes. We don't really know what's in that meat he's selling.
Well, actually, and Johnny actually likes to drive like 20 or 30 miles an hour over.
Yeah, I do. I'm guilty.
Rich Square.
So there you go. Highway Patrol in Northampton County or surrounding areas. Johnny Robertson.
He actually is a fan of the Blues Brothers. He'll be driving that old police car like the Blues Brothers.
Hey, you have Virginia tags, Johnny.
I do. I know. I'm trying to get Carolina tags, but Yeah, not yet. I still got Virginia.
Do we want to say what kind of truck you drive?
No, it's old. It's a
there old. You go. Tacoma. There you go.
And you can hear me coming. It's kind of loud.
Have you got mufflers on there?
Damn right, I got the TRD exhaust.
You got the TRD.
Air intake. I got all that stuff, Kyle.
Nice and loud.
Yeah, I got to do a lot of passing on the way down there. So I got to make that Tacoma is.
We're gonna race. I got a Frontier Pro X. We're gonna race.
Let's do it.
The direct competitor to the Tacoma TRD.
Absolutely.
You're gonna race on 95.
Yeah, and I'm gonna drive. That's what's gonna make it.
All right,
we're gonna drag race. It's a straight line. I can handle that.
All right,
you better clear the way.
No curves. Straight line. We're gonna drag race.
Oh my God, the show's off to a great start. Welcome in, and glad everybody's here. And man, Kyle, I'll have to pick on you for just 1 second. He's like, when we have not a football season going on, right? There's no preview. Dave, why in the world would we
There's plenty to talk about tonight, yeah.
Why would we do a show on Wednesday night?
I sound, Dave.
I know it's not.
He's being strategic, Dave. He's being strategic.
Yeah. So, anyway, we have a lot.
I can't say that word.
Yeah.
I can't tonight for some reason.
Well, whenever he says it, you have to take a shot. You have to take a drink.
I cannot say it tonight. I've tried, and I have failed miserably. I think I had a stroke today. I didn't realize it. I'm not even going to try to fail in the air. Look, there was a good 2 month period I could not say philanthropist, and you can ask Stevie. It was an ongoing joke between me and Stevie.
And then, like for the last 3 months, you couldn't say Parker Jenkins.
Yeah, well, I can say Parker Jenkins. I just
can't
remember
say
his name.
It. He just couldn't think of the name.
Yeah, ever that kid from Houston.
Yeah, the third string.
Every time it came up, everybody knew what he was talking about when he said that running back. I can't never remember his name.
Yeah, Parker Jenkins. I was being very strategic.
There we go.
No, you're in your head about it.
I can't say it.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we got a comment already from Matt Simmons is only wait, but Lowry.
Lowry.
Jordy Lowry. Lowry. Jordy Lowry.
You know what's great? I would just say this. I normally don't talk about stats, but as Kyle is messing up words, you would think that the number of listeners or viewers would go down. It's actually shooting up. So
because it's entertaining.
Kyle's grasp of the vocabulary is making our viewership go up.
Kyle's grasp of the vocabulary.
Yep. Yeah, well,
that was poorly worded, Stevie. That was poorly worded. Doing
mental gymnastics in his head.
That's right.
Hey, let's start looking at I don't know how y'all want to start this off, but we got a couple of
breaking news.
A good comment right up here.
Okay.
Brendan Shapiro. Anyone else extremely concerned about Hauser potentially leaving after JDB's departure?
Shapiro, never forget you owe me. Yes, not concerned at large. I think we'll make a good hire. But for the bowl game, if you mean the bowl game, Shapiro, yes.
No, Hauser.
Oh, I was too busy getting my line in towards Shapiro. Read the comment again.
He says, is anyone extremely concerned about Hauser potentially leaving after JDB?
Oh, no, not because – not as much as if he would have went to Virginia Tech. Ole Miss has – they have their senior quarterback who's trying to get another year of eligibility. It was the D2 transfer. Now, the question is, if he gets that other year of eligibility, is he going to stay at Ole Miss or is he going to go to LSU? But they also have the young kid who was originally the starter who got injured this year. Who will be back next year. So theoretically, they could have two returning quarterbacks. So yeah. I won't get concerned about Hauser following him to Ole Miss until I see if one, the senior is going to get another year of eligibility. Two, if the original starter, they got injured. He was a freshman or a sophomore. Sophomore. So yeah. If either one of them enter the portal, I'll then be concerned about Hauser leaving. But at this time, no. I think we're in a much better spot to keep Hauser with JDB going to Ole Miss than if he would have went to Virginia Tech. At least as we sit today, that's, you know, dominoes fall. So if one of those kids or both those kids enter the portal, then I would be more concerned. But as we sit today, I feel better about Hauser staying with Baker going to Ole Miss than if he went to Virginia Tech. As far as him going anywhere else, if he goes anywhere else, he's going to have to learn a new offense outside of Ole Miss.
Yeah, I don't think
so. The word is he's going to be very hands-on. I don't know how hands-on he's going to be on picking the next coordinator. I go over at Hoist the Colors, says he's going to have a lot of input on it. Does that mean he's sitting in the room with Blake Harrell in these interviews? I mean,
if that's the case, then I wouldn't be too worried about him leaving.
Exactly.
I think that what I've been told is obviously people say the nice things like he loves Greenville. He truly loves Greenville. And you think about this. If I really believe where I would be really worried, like you said, Kyle, the number one thing was the Ole Miss situation. The other thing is, let's say that we had this year was supposed to be the quote unquote magical year, and we have a senior led team and all those guys have gone, and you know, Hauser's got like nothing to work with, then that's an issue. But the issue is simply about getting paid, and we have someone that's going to pay him. We have the money for him. So money is not an issue where normally we would normally say there's just no.
Yeah. What people are saying, Dave, is money's not going to be the issue. Now, if he gets some crazy offer from somewhere,
right,
like $2 million, then, you know, we probably can't match that. But if we can give him $1 million or close to it, the biggest thing is supposedly going to be the OC. And the OC list I've seen, I like. Now, from what I understand, we've already had some conversations according to – this is, again, coming from my guys to give credit to him over at Hoist the Colors.
Yes, sir.
That we've already talked to Philip Montgomery.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm not a fan of that. I don't want to bring in Philip Montgomery. The other name that I go – again, this is over at Hoist the Colors, so I'm not breaking any news that will hurt the university that mm-hmm. we're going to interview the North Texas offensive coordinator who did not go with Morris – to Oklahoma State. So that's also been confirmed. So those are two good interviews. I don't want Montgomery. Look, Montgomery has had some good offenses at Tulsa. He had a good offense at Baylor. His offense at Virginia Tech struggled. The reason I don't want Montgomery is not so much because of what happened at Virginia Tech. More so, I want to keep the young, up-and-coming.
I think
so many people are so scared of hiring people because they're going to leave. I think it's a good position to be in. I think if you can sell that, hey, you come here, Blake's a defensive-minded coach, he's going to let you have full control of that offense, and you can kind of run a string of being the place where the hot young offensive coordinators go to and then move on. I'm good with that.
That means we're winning.
Exactly. Right. We can keep that going. I'm hoping what's going to happen with Blake Harrell. I can remember early on, and I'm all over the place, but I can remember early on in the Dabo Sweeney tenure at Clemson, when he took over as interim head coach, then became head coach, and he would lose coordinators, and everybody would be like, "Ah, now we're gonna see the real Sweeney," and he just kept winning. And I hope it's the same thing with Blake, where people think, well, you hire coordinators now, what's he going to do? Hopefully Blake continues to make good hires. I like the list of coordinators I've seen come up for both sides of the ball. Obviously, the offensive coordinator is the bigger concern. I think as long as Blake's here, we'll have a good defense. A lot of people are talking about we should promote Roy Tesh. Does Roy want to be a defensive coordinator? That's the question. Some guys don't want to be a coordinator. I'll tell you what, as good as he is at developing D-line, I'd be concerned about losing him to a Power 5 school, Power 4 school.
Mm-hmm.
So if he has interest in
teams, remember?
Yes. If he has interest in being a defensive coordinator and, you know, he's getting calls from Power 4 schools, it may be time to promote him. But, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be the plan or if we're going to go outside. But I do know that from what Igo said, that offensive coordinator is the priority first, and that makes a lot of sense. Something else that I'll point out, Garrett Riley, maybe. Kenny,
I don't think so.
Well, here's the thing. Clemson. He's still the offensive coordinator at Clemson. The word is Sweeney, speaking of Dabo.
Dabo!
Is telling him to find work elsewhere. He don't want to fire him, but he wants to make a change there. So he's giving him the opportunity to find work elsewhere. I hear he may be a candidate for the Coastal Carolina head coaching job.
Oh, wow. So
if that happens, obviously we won't get him. But as of right now, you know, there's no, at least from what Igo's reporting, and I have no other inside sources with this, he's not come up yet as a serious candidate, and I don't think he will. I think he'll get another Power Four coordinator position. You know, TCU's back open. He did a great job at TCU. He could just go back there and become and take his old job back.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Kyle. I think, you know, when you look at Clemson, you know, he couldn't get it done at Clemson. Just like you were talking about, he's not old, but older guys like we're talking about that we're going to bring in. I like the fact when you're talking about the up and coming, but if the up and coming has maybe it just wasn't the right fit. I get that. But at the same time, I think we're going to have two
good. You know, Garrett?
Yeah.
No, I would have no problem bringing in Garrett Riley. I just don't think it'll happen. I think he'll get a Power Four job or maybe the Coastal head coaching position. I would have no problem bringing in Garrett if we could do it. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Why is he being told to find another work?
I don't think it's working out there with him and Sweeney. I don't know. Their offense hasn't been, you know.
Yeah.
He did a great job at TCU. You know his brother Lincoln. You know he's got a good offensive mind. So I don't know. I don't doubt that he can coach offense. The another name I'm hearing come up a lot is the Mercer offensive coordinator.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if any of our listeners have watched Mercer play. I have not. I love their numbers are fantastic. I hear their offense is very similar to what we run.
They have a freshman quarterback who just swings it all over the place.
And that appeals to me too, JR, because if you could get them together and then he would come sit behind Hauser for 1 year, that would be a perfect situation.
Yeah. Well, Stevie, with you being – let's ask you, you being a head coach, what are you looking for? And we obviously know the offensive coordinator right now is the most important one, so we'll start with that one. What are you looking for in an offensive coordinator if you're Blake Harrell?
I wouldn't want to change. I wouldn't want too much of a change, if any, of what we run now, especially with Hauser there, with the weapons we got now. I mean, we know what we can do with that kind of offense. I mean, we're explosive with that up-tempo kind of air raid offense. I'd be looking for something similar to what we run now.
Exactly.
I got your answer, Stevie. Hey, Kyle, I didn't see the list, so I don't know if this guy is on that list or not.
Okay.
But if you want to talk about air raid and you want to talk about a team that executes it to the T, Monmouth, you don't think of as a football power. Matt would know more about Monmouth because he's in the area. But they are putting up ridiculous numbers. Their OC played at Monmouth, and then as soon as he graduated, he was on the football staff, and he's been on there for 21 seasons, the last seven as OC, and they're averaging 7.0 yards per play on offense.
Wow. 499
yards per game and 322 passing. And then last year, their numbers were even better, 7.2 per play. So, I mean, this is that's a pure air raid offense that they're running. So, you know, they're never under center. They do a lot of RPO. They're just I feel like they match what we do pretty well. Was Monmouth OC on the list at all, Kyle?
I don't remember seeing him on the list, but I mean I could be wrong.
I'm trying to look, but every time I go to look, it closes me out on here. So give me a minute. I'm gonna look.
Okay. While you're looking, Kyle, did you hear Kendall Briles is going to South Carolina to be their OC?
Yeah, that's why I mentioned earlier that the TCU position was open again, so Garrett could just go back to TCU. So Kendall was the OC at TCU, so that's another spot Garrett might fall. Garrett was at TCU before he went to South Carolina. Yes. Or Clemson, rather. Clemson.
Clemson, yeah. Well, for me, Stevie, while we're having Kyle look that up, what are you looking for in a defensive coordinator? Do you like the fact that you go ahead and just promote Roy Tesh, since he's done a great job as he did a great job at D-line? He did a great job as our special teams coach. He's a disciple of Mike Houston, but, you know, he's a North Carolina guy. Really like him. He has his personality really fits, and even though he's technically not an East Carolina guy, he fits into Pirate Nation.
I wouldn't have a problem with that, but, you know, with Blake there, me and Kyle talked. He's gonna have some hands on that defense anyway, and you know, so I'm not as worried about defense wise as I am offense wise. So we could do that. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all, promoting from within. But yeah, I guess we just have to wait and see on that though.
Go ahead, Kyle.
He is not on the list.
I didn't think he was.
I'll tell you what, though, it's a great list. If I go, you know, if those are the, you know, I'm assuming I go, it's just not naming people that he think would be a good fit. If that's legitimately who he's hearing that we're looking at, that there's not a bad name. I don't really think there's a bad name on the list. I don't particularly want Phillip Montgomery because, again, I want a young up-and-comer. But there's not a bad name on the list.
You're still pissed about the Tulsa screw job in 2020.
Exactly, exactly. But
how do you really feel, Johnny?
there's not a bad name on that list. There's some are more intriguing than others. The North Texas OC immediately jumps out at you, but then you think Morris was such an offensive-minded coach. It was more his offense, and then he didn't take him with him to Oklahoma State. And then the new incoming head coach at North Texas, you know, it's not, and it could be a situation where he doesn't want to be retained. He could be mad that he didn't get the head coaching job at North Texas. But he worked with the wide receivers a lot at North Texas. Morris coached the quarterback, so that would be the one thing that I would be a little concerned about. But JDB, you know, he didn't coach quarterbacks before he came here. He coached tight ends. But he had been with Morris for years and years, so he's a direct disciple. You know what he would run. It's going to be that North Texas offense. I hear he's getting an interview very soon. Wouldn't be surprised if he ends up with the job.
Cool. Hey, I want to talk about the defense. You know, I made last week, I said I would not want to lose Josh Aldridge. If I had to lose one, I'd rather lose JDB. And it's not only because of, you know, Josh Aldridge, losing him as a defensive coordinator, it's losing Josh Aldridge as the recruiter. We just had our best linebacker recruiting class ever, and all three of them Josh Aldridge recruited. And to make things worse, I've told you before, you know, my neighbor is Rico Zachary, who's the he's coaching on the defense, and him and Josh are extremely tight. Like, I feel like Rico had a big part in Josh coming here. And Rico is a heck of a recruiter, too. He recruited our best recruit we've had in a long time with that edge rusher from Richmond, Terrence, what was his name? Tyrande Spencer. So those two together, they specialize in Georgia and North Carolina, but mostly Georgia. I hate the thoughts of losing those two as recruiters, but on the good side, not necessarily the good side, but another side of that would be Josh Aldridge wasn't just the defensive coordinator. He was also the linebackers coach. And that was by far our weakest link on the defense. I mean, by far. Now, I ran that by Igo, and he said that don't read too much into that because we didn't have much talent at linebacker this year. So we had Danka, DJ Johnson, and Damian Wilson, and all three of them are rated in the bottom eight on our defense out of 46 players. So yeah. Those are my thoughts on the defense.
Yeah, for me personally, I like here's what I was going to say. I've had people ask me the last few days, you know, like, are you worried? Are you worried? Well, normally I would say I'm really, really worried. I'm concerned, right, because we don't have an offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator. However, I will just tell you guys this. This list you guys are talking about, it makes my point. Johnny, I told Johnny this last night. It's a matter of I'm not worried because we have Blake Harrell. Maybe you could argue, well, Dave, you have way too much confidence. But I think that Blake is a very good talent recruiter when it comes to players. But also, I think he's spot on with coaches. Same time in the era we're in where there's no really loyalty, then hey, there are other guys. There's more than one guy that knows offense, and there's more than one guy that knows defense, like we've been talking about. My only concern would be simply would they run what we already similar or what we are already running now. That's my only thing, but I'm really confident in that, and I think
based on the list, if Igo's list is correct, we are going to be running what we've been running, or we're going to go full on air raid, one or the other. Okay. Based on that list. Now, the only exception, I guess, would be Phillip Montgomery, but you know he still runs a spread. But based on that list, it's going to be a very similar offense. And if Hauser really is going to have input on it, then Blake knows his forte is not offense. His forte is defense. He knows it's worked letting John David Becker do his thing. So he's going to have to hire an offensive coordinator he trusts. He's going to have to hire an offensive coordinator he knows can run that side of the ball. And, as long as Blake's here, we're going to have a respectable defense. Blake didn't get the head coaching job because our defense sucked. So defense was good this year. I remember we hired Josh Aldridge. He looked like a decent hire on paper. We really, none of us liked him, listening to him in interviews, prior to the season. And then we had a great defense. So,
then they wouldn't allow him to do interviews anymore. So we never heard him again.
Well, you know what, JR? I think that was probably, and I'd love to ask Blake this, but I think Blake wanted to shoulder all the blame. I agree. I think he probably, as a coordinator, thought that, he didn't like, when Houston, because Houston would deflect blame. Houston was never a me, it's my fault, I got to fix this guy. He would send his coordinators out there, and I think Blake did that to any blame that was going to be given, he would take. He didn't have to take much this year, though. Yeah. My point is, I'm rambling. My point is, I'm not concerned about defensive coordinator hire. I think whoever we hire is going to be Blake's defense, and it's going to be fine. Igo had a great point.
Yeah, I agree.
The rest of this defensive staff, none of this staff Josh Aldridge really hired. All these guys were Blake Harrell guys. Roy Tesh was already here.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, Kyle. When you're hiring an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator, I would think we want to retain almost every coach on offense. I mean, do you say to the coordinator, we'd like to keep like Matt Maddox?
You tell him you keep Matt Maddox. The rest of the offensive guys, I think, are replaceable. No disrespect to any of them. Matt Maddox, I do think he has taken mediocre offensive line talent, and they've gotten better each year as the season's gone on.
Yep.
When you see players get better as the season goes on, and you see guys particularly on the offensive line, he's switching guys out during the year and figuring out that line. Matt Maddox is a good coach. You definitely – and if you have any sense, if you're an offensive coordinator and you see Matt Maddox is here, you know his pedigree. You got. You're like, hell yeah, we're going to keep Matt Maddox. if we can keep Matt Maddox, you keep him. The rest of the offensive staff, again, nothing against any of them. Maddox is leaving, according to Pace. Pace, where are you hearing that from, and where do you hear he's going?
He's throwing the bathroom wall.
I want to hear that. Hey, with Matt Maddox, though.
University.
Say about a bathroom wall?
Matt Maddox is rated as the number one recruiter in the American. So going back to recruiting, that's going to be another hit that I don't really want to take.
Kansas. Ooh, God, that sucks. That sucks big
time.
Well,
at least they're not going to one of our schools in American.
No, that's true, but boy, that's a big loss. That's a big loss. I don't know what you could do about that. You're not going to match Kansas for salary. They're putting a lot of money into football these days.
Yeah, they didn't. They used to be a joke for football, but that you're right, Kyle.
I don't know what you do about it other than offer him the offensive coordinator position, and I don't know that you want to do that.
Yeah.
But he's a heck of an offensive line coach and a heck of a recruiter. So that's a shame if that's accurate.
Well, we shall see, right? How many – one thing I was going to ask you guys tonight, maybe a little bit premature, but how many of you are worried about the number – this is one thing I'm seeing. I just want to say this to Pirate Nation. And I said this in a I think you and I commented on, Kyle, on a Facebook post. I just want to let everybody know, most of the people that like watch and listen to the show know this, but a lot of the players come and go before the transfer portal. They transfer. And it's because they literally are not getting the playing time. And we had one today, Davis.
It was actually announced yesterday, but it didn't get put on Pirate Watch until today. Okay. Yeah, he's somebody that didn't get the playing time. And as JR pointed out, we didn't have a lot of talent at linebacker, and he wasn't getting playing time. So I think
he had 8 snaps on the year.
Yeah.
So, all against Campbell, I believe.
Yes. I go indicate that he's going to be transferring down to the FCS level.
Yeah.
So I
good for him. Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't.
Yeah, no, he's not going to play. Why be here? Yes, he was probably told to leave to make room on the roster.
Right.
So if people were being, oh, here it goes. Well, know who's transferring, first of all, or don't comment. Right. If you don't realize this kid was not a starter, wasn't even on the two deep, he had 8 snaps, like you said, all against Campbell. It's not a major loss. It's somebody who's leaving to go get playing time somewhere else. Guys are going to leave because of that. When you hear a name you recognize leaving, then get concerned.
Yeah, keeping Hauser, Kenneth Maynard says, keeping Hauser, Yannick Smith, and McCrimmon is absolutely paramount. And, I haven't heard – I'm hearing a lot about Hauser, but Yannick Smith, as you guys know, is one of those guys – as far as a wide receiver position, that I'm like, if you get that guy, as you guys use the term, lathered up, that guy is dangerous as far as speed, and he's definitely I want to keep.
Yeah, I like him in contested catches, like when he's being covered well or double covered. I mean, chances are he's coming down with the ball. I mean, he's our best, I think, contested catch guy out there.
Yeah, he's definitely somebody you want to keep. Although
his height helps that. Yeah, Brock Spalding's really good at that too. But he doesn't have the height that Yannick does.
But man.
I will say this: you want to keep Yannick, and you're going to make every effort to keep Yannick. But there are good receivers in the portal. You can find good receivers. There will be good receivers in the portal. You just got to make sure you hit on them. You can't miss. We need to be. This time around in the receiver room, I don't know that I would take a lot of unproven guys that, played at Power 4 schools that were buried on the depth chart. I would probably be looking at some guys who put up big numbers at the FCS level or like we did a couple years ago with homie from Toledo. What was his name?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Winston. Oh, the kid. Yeah. He's from Highland Springs, Virginia.
Winston Wright.
Winston Wright.
Yeah. He, somebody like that from the MAC who put up good numbers.
No, I was thinking of the other one, not Winston Wright.
Nah, he was from Charlotte. Somebody from the MAC, like Winston Wright, who was from Charlotte, who played at Toledo, who put up good numbers. Somebody like that, or from the FCS, that's what I would do at receiver. I think taking guys like
Isaiah Winstead.
Yes, thank
Isaiah
you.
Winstead. Thank yeah, you. Who, not Winston Wright. Who the hell is Winston Wright?
Yeah, Winston Wright came from Florida State.
Isaiah Winstead. That's what I'm thinking of.
Wide receiver room, just the wrong name.
Yeah,
good Isaiah job, Winstead. Logan.
Yeah, well, and,
thank you, Logan.
Yeah. His dad, Michael Winstead, also.
Yeah, so Winston, somebody like that is my point, from the MAC or from the FCS. I wouldn't take, and Petaway's going to come up here and kick my ass one day. But Petaway was – it may be I'll have a big year next year. But Petaway, did not perform this year. up to expectations. So I would be careful taking guys at Power Four schools. You know, although, look at Anthony Wright. Anthony Wright was not a, you know, I don't know how much playing time he got in NC State, but he did a heck of a job here. So, the point is, whether we keep Yannick or not, we're going to need some receivers. That is something we're going to have to get out of the portal this year. Even if we keep Yannick and Brock.
I was just going to say, before you quit talking about Pettaway, I think we misused him this year because that NC State game, we had a 4th-and-1, and we didn't throw it to Pettaway. And that dude had more one-yard catches than anybody in the history of Pirate sports. I'm joking.
I guarantee.
It seems like Stevie. Every one of his catches was 1 yard.
70% of his targets were bubble screens.
Yeah, and he never broke any tackles. Yeah,
I think you're right.
When you got somebody with blazing speed like that, why aren't you letting him go down the field and take a shot downfield with him?
He never did.
I agree because
might not be a good route runner.
Yeah, Johnny.
I mean, you don't have to be a good route runner if you got that blazing speed. You can run a daggum go route and just let him throw the ball up in the air to you.
Did we ever see his blazing speed?
Don't you remember?
Yeah, that's the point.
The talk before the season started was how fast he was.
Yeah, I know, but I never saw it.
Well, because he showed.
I mean, it's hard to get fast when you're running a bubble screen and everybody on the defense is going right over there to you. I mean,
they never threw downfield to him ever.
Pittsburgh had a guy that was a really good receiver, but couldn't run a route. But he had so much speed, he didn't have to. Mike Wallace. I want to say he came from Ole Miss.
Yeah, but, he did. He was a rebel.
Then he was a longtime ABC news anchor.
That's true. Good point.
But he had so much speed. His routes, he was not the strongest route runner. But man, he could fly. He could get behind the defense. So, I mean, you take a shot with him a couple of times. If Pettaway's as fast as they say he is, then why not take a shot with him like that?
And maybe that's something we'll see next year. But again, I go back to the portal for receivers. Even if we keep Brock and we keep Yannick, we need to get some receivers out of the portal and we need to make sure we hit on them.
Yeah, fellas,
by the way, there's another Brock Lowry. Quarterback is that Lowry or Lowry?
Lowry.
Lowry, that's a different one.
Yeah. Yeah, he's talking about a quarterback. How about that?
Western Michigan sophomore quarterback Brock Lowry has 140 yards rushing and 14 rushing TDs. I hadn't heard his name come up. Western Michigan. Western Michigan won the MAC this year. That interesting bowl game. Western Michigan against Kennesaw State in the Myrtle Beach. I don't know why that made me laugh when he just Broncos. Western Michigan against Kennesaw State in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. Conference USA champion against Conference USA champion against MAC champion.
Yeah.
It's champion versus champion. It's actually a really intriguing bowl game.
Yeah.
So I think Coach Mack, Jerry Mack, did a hell of a job at Kennesaw State in year one. Former North Carolina Central head coach,
sure.
Winning Conference USA down there. So, in fact, I think Kennesaw's OC. I know Jacksonville State's is, but I think Kennesaw's OC is on our hot board for OC candidates.
That's one of the ones I was going to ask you about, Kyle, earlier, and I forgot. With winning the Conference USA and talk about a team. We talked about James Madison, Johnny's favorite school. I'm saying that sarcastically. but we talked about James Madison, but man, Kennesaw State comes up from FCS to FBS, another school, Johnny, that we were talking about. How many FCS schools have come up to FBS and have an immediate or pretty much immediate success?
I think Missouri State and Delaware are both going to bowls this year, their first year in FBS.
I didn't think you could do that.
You can when there's not enough bowl eligible teams.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
You're thinking, Dave, of when JMU came up and they were definitely bowl eligible and weren't allowed to participate.
Yeah, it's still a rule. Dave. It's still a rule, JR. It's just the amount of bowl eligible teams this year.
Yeah. Yeah, same with App State. Remember, was it 2014? Somewhere around there, they were still doing well. And App State is actually making a bowl. So
at 5-7, yeah, because of the three or four bowl eligible teams that declined, and then there were several 5-7 teams that declined because they had already got into our season is over mode. And one that was not discussed was an American team. Rice accepted that apparently Temple declined.
They said they didn't.
No, they actually had to. They put out a statement on that. Here's what happened. There was a whole bunch, as we remember on Sunday, there was a whole lot going on behind the scenes. And basically what happened is they were just saying, hey, do you want to, you're 5-7. So they were, as they were offered, this is crazy, but as they were offering Temple to go, another team apparently took their place. That's what Temple says. I don't know. But
oh, wow. Okay. So did the APR thing go out the window, or did somebody decide that had a higher APR?
I think they just went down to the next team. I think they wanted like an immediate answer, and they didn't like their Temple was taking longer than they wanted them to. So they just went, I think, to Mississippi State, and they were like, yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah. So that's what happened with Temple. I did want to ask you guys, there's a question I've been hearing a lot on talking heads talking about gloom and doom. And they say that, look at all these. Now you have more than players opting out. You have teams opting out.
Yes, I think bowl games are going. Yes, I do.
You do?
I do. And this is what I think is going to happen. This ain't what I want to happen. This is what I think is going to happen. I think initially we're not going to have a split in terms of the Power Four and the Group of Six in the regular season. I think we're going to continue playing in the regular season as one big old FBS dysfunctional family. I think we're going to have a postseason of two 2014 playoffs. One's going to be for the Power Four. One's going to be for the Group of Six. And I think that's going to be the new postseason coming down the line. Not next year, but in the very near future.
Well, here's something that I saw today on CBS. That's a nice segue, Kyle, because I was going to ask you about it, but I'll go ahead and ask about you. Go ahead and ask about it now. And that is, they have CBS. I think if I can send it to you via text, but CBS is actually doing it. This is not legit yet. So this is something they are, you know, threw out there for those of us that have a show and we need content. I don't think it's going to happen, but they have the college football NIT, and they basically took the teams like your Notre Dame's, BYU, Texas, Michigan's of the world, and they had 24 teams in like an NIT in addition to what we already have.
No, so, that's not going to. No, that doesn't. That. Well, why would that be better than a bowl? I think what's going to happen is
you'd win a championship.
It would be, you win a championship when you win a bowl game.
I know.
I don't think that's going to happen. What I do think is going to happen is I think you're going to have a Power Four playoff and a Group of Six playoff, and I think we'll continue together in the regular season. But then when it comes playoff time, we'll split, and you're going to have two separate playoffs. And I hate that that's going to happen, but I do think that's what's going to happen.
It'll be interesting to see. Here's my thing. It'll be interesting to see if whenever we have about, you know, when people are talking about the ACC and maybe even the Big 12, is there a possibility, guys, when we talk about the breakaway of the power, I was getting ready to say the Big Two. Oh my God, the power two, which I can't even stand. But anyway, in other words, you have all the conferences except for the Big Ten and SEC, and they have a playoff. Like, I know what you're talking about, Group of Six.
Maybe down the road. I think down the road you're going to have some more. I think eventually
NC State, Wake Forest, right now Duke and North Carolina can hang money wise.
Yeah, Wake
cannot.
To your point, yes. I think down the line, you're going to eventually see the Big Ten and SEC swallow up some more ACC and Big 12 schools, and you're going to have a NFL-type system maybe with low-side 40, high-side 60 teams, and you're going to have some leftovers like maybe a Wake Forest, maybe a Boston College, et cetera, playing at this level. But I think the initial thing that's going to happen, and my guess is going to be year after next, is you're going to see a split just in the postseason initially. It'll still be a Power Four, and then there'll be a playoff for them and a playoff for the Group of Six. But I do think eventually what you're saying, yes, I think the eventually after they do that for a couple of years, the SEC and the Big Ten, when a school from them is winning the national championship every year and the ACC and Big 12 never does, you're going to see them cut those two leagues out. So I think initially, like I say, it's going to be a Power Four and a Group of Six playoff. And then I think down the line, the SEC and Big Ten will swallow up whoever else they want from the ACC and the Big 12, and then the rest of those schools will be stuck with us over here in the land of misfit toys.
Well, I think I've said it all along. I think college football, the powers that be in the Big 10 and SEC are making a huge mistake. I think they are not smart enough to see that they are – the way to expand is by making everything better. In fact, it's funny. The talking heads are talking about no, including a guy I like a lot, but he's really irritated the hell out of me. The elitist Paul Feinbaum, who once he says, guys, we got to get rid of nobody wants to see Tulane and James Madison play, and that's like, dude, where are you? There are a lot of people that want to see them play. There are good football teams, and guess what? Johnny and I were talking.
What I want to know. I want Paul Feinbaum, that the face that's never been a face made for radio, Paul Feinbaum, a guy whose ears could be satellites, Paul Feinbaum, a guy who is the definition of the name Poindexter, Paul Feinbaum, a guy who if it wasn't for money, oh God, I want to say this so bad, but I'm not going to. I'm going to try to keep it clean.
You're vulgar. Keep it down, Kyle.
Yeah, I got to keep it down. I want to say this,
Kyle.
But it was such a good line, but I'm not going to say it.
You have that on the paywall later.
Just fill in the line. Never mind. But Paul Feinbaum, go tell those Tulane players. What he's literally saying in the current system we have is Tulane, East Carolina, Southern Mississippi, Boise State, your players don't deserve to play for a championship. Yep. Your players don't deserve to play for a championship. Your players, the only thing they should be able to do is win their conference and go to a bowl game. That's what he's saying. Now, if you want to make the argument that there shouldn't be two so-called group of five or group of six teams with the return of the Pac-12 in the playoff, because there's too many quality Power Four teams being left out. Okay. They changed the system that the wording says the four Power Four champions automatically get in and one team from the Group of Five. But to totally exclude the Group of Five is BS. There needs to be an opportunity. Now, if you want to change the wording, like I said, where it says the four Power Four champions get in and one champion from the Group of Five gets in, then change the wording. But you cannot completely, and I think they know that. With the lawsuits that have happened in college football over NIL and over Portal, I think they knew there would be another lawsuit coming if they completely excluded us without a split or without the agreement of creating a separate playoff. And that's what I think is going to end up happening. And I think there's going to be two separate playoffs created down the line, probably in 2 years is my guess, unless we all fight it, unless we just completely fight it and say, no, we'll take that one spot if you want to change that wording. But I really believe down the line that's what's going to happen, and I'm repeating myself at this point.
So guess what? 24, if you go to a 24-team playoff, which ESPN wants, out of 136 teams, I don't even have to be Johnny Stats. I don't even have to be a mathematician to know that's 18%. So all this bogus argument of how, it waters down, it doesn't help with the – I'll tell you this. If I'm watching college football and we have a day where we can watch all day long, like the away games and things like that. Then if you say to me, hey, Kyle, at our group text, hey, go check out the Mac, this Mac game. You know, guys, this could be where decide who's going to be the Mac champion that goes to the playoff. I'm going to be like, wow, where most of the time I wouldn't even, to be honest, I wouldn't care. And people can say that about my conference. And
well, I'd like to know what the ratings were, and they weren't great games. The Sun Belt game was a little bit better than the American Championship game. But I would venture to guess that the ratings were up significantly for the Sun Belt Championship game this year. You know, ESPN should want all their content to make as much money as possible. And if, you know, the Sun Belt Championship game, which they're paying a fraction of the cost of what they're paying for any Power 4 championship game, if it was up this year significantly in ratings and they sold a lot of advertisement for it, that's nothing but profit for ESPN exactly. and Disney. So I need to look that up and see. I haven't seen ratings for that. But, you know, I'm curious to know. In fact, I'm going to try to find that data now. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, Stevie and Johnny, how do you feel about that? Like, for me, I want to go to – here's my thing. It won't happen, but this is what – because they're not smart enough to see they can make more money per school. What you need to do is do all the conference champions get in and the 14 at large, and that way – and look, hey, if you have 24 teams and those so-called group of six, they can be towards the bottom. They can have lower seeds. I mean, it's not hard. And guess what? When they go, oh, well, they'll lose by 40 or 50. Boise, I mean, we can give a whole bunch of examples, but
oh yeah,
they don't want to see poor Alabama. We feel sorry for Alabama. God forbid that James Madison or any other team from the group of five, group of six, that they upset their darling Alabama. Sorry, Notre Dame.
Dave's freezing up on us. I think Dave's gone.
Think about that.
There you go. There you go. You're back. But, yeah, I mean, my thing is, okay, if you're going to make this comparison, and I know this might be a bad comparison, let's talk about NCAA basketball. If you take away these lower
conference,
whatever you, how many Cinderella stories have we seen over the years? Any given day, it could happen, and you know you can't punish a team like a JMU for having a good season, and keeping them out. Like if they had got kept out of it this year, I mean, somebody and guys, I don't know if you see it. It's change the subject, but Justin Butts, we were talking about earlier, Michigan coach has been arrested. Or ex-Michigan coach has been arrested. Wonder what's going on there.
If anybody's in Michigan right now or has any ties in Michigan, can you tell us what the heck is going on? They said there was no public information on it, but we'll see. We'll see what maybe by the time we're done with the show, we'll find out.
Hey, put Kenny Curlin's comment up here. This is exactly what I'm talking about, Dave.
Hold on.
College football is the only one that's trying to keep Cinderella out. You're exactly right, Kenny. Hey, man, Kenny. You could have said it better. Free Cinderella, let her in the door.
Okay, so the Sun Belt Championship game, and I need to find 2024 viewership. I saw 1.7 million. So it was 329,000 last year. You're 1.15 million. I saw 1.7, Johnny or John. Either way, it was 1.7 or 1.15.
That's a
significant
yes.
Increase in viewership from the previous year. And I would imagine the American Championship would have similar numbers, although the Sun Belt game was a better game. So, you know, Tulane walked the dog on North Texas.
And another thing, guys, that let me do my Stevie about Peter Griffin. You know what grinds my gears? Talking about getting rid of the conference championship games, that is so idiotic because that's another way for them to make money. But if you have two teams and that team wins on that field like Duke did last week, they can cry all they want to, but they had the stupid tiebreakers instead of the metrics. But don't get rid of the conference championships because of that's ridiculous.
Let me tell you guys something, and this is a little bit off the top, but you jogged my memory, Dave, when you talked about Duke and Virginia, the ACC championship game. You know, everybody knows we're playing Pitt in the bowl game. I listened to this guy. I know you guys saw him talking about ECU has a good high school football stadium.
Oh, that's great.
He didn't even know that ECU had a football team. You should know. We beat you a few times over the years. I listened to this whole show with these guys. Let me tell you, there's a difference between how – there's a reason why we call this sport being objective on here, because when we're not good, we know it. We tell you we're not good.
We pay the price for it. People won't even look at me in the administration or talk to me, but that's fine.
But – and there's a certain thing called being a homer. And when you can't admit – and these guys at Pitt on this show, oh, my gosh, they should be in the college football playoffs right now, according to them.
Wait, doesn't Pitt play in – do they have their own stadium?
No, they share it with the Steelers.
Yeah, so they don't even have
a stadium. They tear up the
freaking – we were talking about that, like how it's professional. And then the thing that – hey, Kyle, you're going to love this. The dude talks about, I've been there to Dowdy Ficklin, and I was there when East Carolina played. Wait for it. Coastal Carolina. Sir, Coastal Carolina has never come to Greenville. Even I know that. I may not be the smartest guy in the room, and even I know Coastal Carolina in football has never come to
Dowdy Ficklin. So this is a Pitt podcast?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's invite him on the show.
Oh, Matt's already done that.
We'll make him cry.
They were discussing the Duke Virginia game, and all of them said that.
They would
definitely beat either Duke or you couldn't even beat West Virginia. I mean, West Virginia walked a dog on you.
And you had
easy. They didn't have their quarterback that they have now when they played West Virginia.
Well, that's did you listen to them?
No, but I'm glad I didn't, because
Lord,
I don't need that. But going to make an effort to catch up.
He was there when he came to Dowdy Ficklin and watched us play Coastal Carolina.
I think he actually backtracked it, Dave, and said something about the baseball.
He went to the regional, and then
he was there for that, and said he toured the stadium. But the whole thing in a nutshell came down
to, they don't have a stadium.
No, he toured Dowdy.
But they don't have a stadium. You can't talk crap about somebody else. That would be like somebody that don't have a girlfriend talking shit about somebody else's girlfriend. You ain't got one.
Well, he was, because he said that some ECU fans came in and attacked us and said he didn't even know. Yeah, JJ Kitchen, exactly, Kenneth.
That's his name. Get out of the kitchen.
He was like, ECU fans came in the comments, said he didn't even know Pitt had fans or something like that. So we're not gonna hold anything back with you guys. I'm like, okay, come on, bring it.
Hey, bring that's bulletin board material, baby.
Exactly. Keep talking.
Yeah, you have no idea.
They are thinking we are a joke right now, and I hope they keep thinking that.
That was one of the questions. Go ahead, sorry, John.
I never got my chance to answer your question. Sorry. You never asked me about the what I think about the group of six teams and the playoffs and people that want us out. And I know you know that I don't root for James Madison at all, but I will be rooting for James Madison against Oregon, and I'll be rooting for Tulane for sure.
Our Oregon quarterback's going to sit out that game.
Good. Let him sit out. Here's what I was getting at, though. Last year, we didn't have any group of six teams, and we had some really blowout games in the first round. SMU.
Yeah, we had Boise State.
Okay, but I'm talking about the first round we had. Boise State didn't have to play in the first round, though. Boise State got a bye.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so in the first round games is what I'm talking about. SMU completely laid down against Penn State. I think they lost by like 28 points. And then, Ohio State obliterated Tennessee, unfortunately, by like 25 points or something. So, you know, I didn't hear anybody. Maybe if they would have had a group of six teams, they would have tried harder and made the games a little bit closer. So, yeah, I'm rooting for the two teams just to shut people up.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, beating a team twice in the same season is hard. You know, Ole Miss has had a lot of distractions. They're probably not going to take Tulane as serious as they should. I'm telling you right now, that's got upset written all over it.
Upset special number one.
Plus, Tulane is no mystery to what Mississippi's offense is doing. The first game between those two teams, that was Trinidad Chambliss' first start. And, you know, now they know what to expect from him. They know what to expect from the offense. So I think that the Tulane, it's going to be closer. It's going to be much closer.
So Matt asked JJ to come on the show.
Yeah. That was Monday.
JJ, your mama's a bitch if you don't come on the show.
Good God.
Your mama's a bitch and she's a $2 hoe that stands on the corner in Pittsburgh and sucks wieners for fun.
Easy.
If you don't come on the show. How about that? How about that, JJ? JJ, you ain't dynamite. How about that, JJ? If you don't come on the show, your mama's a hoe.
Yeah. Matt also challenged.
Now, if you don't, if you come on the show, I take it all back. Your mother's a fine, upstanding woman. But if you don't come on the show, your mama's a bitch ass hoe.
Yeah, it said JJ Kitchen. He said JJ Bitchin, Kenneth Maynard.
There you go. There you go.
You remember when Matt challenged the NC State guys?
I just challenged him. I just said if he don't come on the show, his mama's a bitch ass hoe. Yeah, I mean, if you don't respond to that, what kind of man are you?
JJ again
specializing in poor taste and vulgarity since 1980.
JJ is yellow.
Wow.
He's yeller. He's yeller.
Hey, Kyle, one of our favorite movies.
Are you yeller?
A triple dog dare you, JJ. A triple dog dare you.
You just passed the double dog dare. That's a breach of etiquette. You got a dog there, and you got a double dog there. You just went to the triple dog there.
You can't triple step and no racy.
You can't do what? Who, what, where? You
can't triple step and no racy. You remember that?
I do not.
You never seen Dumb and Dumber?
I love Dumb and Dumber.
I'm not a huge Dumb and Dumber fan. I'll tell you who would have loved that reference. Bubba. Our former colleague, Bubba Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
Who will quote Dumb and Dumber.
Triple step and no racy.
He will quote Dumb and Dumber and the golf movie. I can't think of it right now.
Happy Gilmore.
No. The Mother of All Dares. Thank you, Matt. Yes, very good. The triple dog dare. Not Happy Gilmore. Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah. He loves it. And he loves Animal House, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now we just talked about all the movies Bubba loves. So there we go.
Yeah, Bubba, where art thou?
Matt, are you coming on? You said you were going to come on. You're in the comments. Are you going to come on? Or we're just going to get the typing Matt Semenza.
He's sitting out tonight. He's holding out. We're hoping that we can get
Kyle, you know where he's at. He's got another shipment of trees coming in today.
Oh, that's right. He's putting up another Balsam Hill Christmas tree. It's Balsam Hill tree number 21.
On the east lawn.
On the east lawn of the Semenza Estate. In beautiful Connecticut, Christmas in New England with the Semenzas.
He's on a virtual seminar.
Yeah, right.
He's working, man. He's working.
A virtual seminar for work.
He's putting up another tree.
Bob, awesome. Guys, I think I'm getting sick again. I literally just got over being sick, and I think I'm getting sick again. My work, there's more stuff going around at my work. I swear to God, everything from RSV to COVID to strep is all going around at my work. It's like a petri dish.
Wow. And you have a decent amount of employees there, right?
Yeah, like 70.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a factory style like warehouse setting.
There you go.
Yep. So
yeah, so I hope that we can get JJ Kitchen on. We'll see if we can get him on.
I'm looking him up on Twitter right now.
Hey, Johnny, I know that you can get him on. Johnny is like one of these, like, he should have been with SBI, State Police, FBI, CSI, somebody like with those. We can get him. Johnny can go up there and get him on.
Well, you look, if JJ wants to defend his mother's honor and prove that she's not a bitch ass hoe, he's going to come on.
Well, that's how I'm going to accomplish it, Kyle. I'm going to give him a link to the show. And
I mean, look, I will fully take it back and say his mother is a lovely lady and everything else as long as he comes on the show.
He has to have the courage, right?
Yeah, and I'll take it all back. And first thing I'll do, I'll say I'll take everything I said about
your
mother
back. She's a lovely woman. He's a Kenny Pickett fan too. Good Lord.
Yeah, that Stevie. How about that? Your buddy for the Stalas. Oh, we have. He's talking about like he was comparing it. Like we play in this professional stadium, and I'm like, dude, you don't even have a stadium. What are you
talking about? Exactly. Why would you? So does Temple, brah. So yeah. Does Temple.
Oh Lord.
Oh, Matt's going for it while he's doing the virtual seminar. He's going to message him.
There you go.
In between decorating the trees.
Yeah, man, Matt is like the ultimate. He's doing like the watching film because we're talking about the new commits for East Carolina. He's doing that. He's helping out Chrissy with the Christmas trees. He's doing a virtual seminar. What
awesome hell.
We need to, hey, by the way, guys, we need to get a Christmas tree sponsor, don't you think?
Matt, JR, Stevie, God dang it. Matt, Stevie informed me that you thought there was a song about Balsam Hill Christmas trees. And there is not one, but me and Stevie will soon be.
There will be one.
There will be one. Yes, there will be. It's coming.
JJ is delusional as some of those Locked On podcast guys. And let me just say, we have a JJ that works in our administration. He's a really good dude. We're not talking about you, JJ. We're talking about
somebody's going to isolate that clip just to get people more pissed off with me. Look at this. Calvin LaGrange said your mother's a bitch-ass hoe.
JJ McLam works for East Carolina. We're not talking.
No, we're not talking about JJ McLam. JJ McLam is a fine individual, and so is his mother.
Yeah, so please make sure that when you listen that we're talking about JJ Kitchen.
Yes, JJ McLam is his mother's a fine Christian lady who makes pies and cakes every Sunday for the church.
Were we talking about Mercer's head coach a while ago?
Their OC.
Okay, the OC, because the head coach left.
Where'd he go?
He's gone to Toledo.
Wow.
Oh, well.
To replace Jason Campbell.
Will the OC become the new head coach at Mercer?
Could be.
Yeah. Well.
So, Kenny, why did you say wow? Was that because of Kyle or what?
I just said, I mean, I was just saying J.J. McClamp's mother makes pies and cakes for church on Sunday. Yeah, that's a wonderful thing to say.
I just noticed when we were saying J.J., I don't want people to make that connection. So I like J.J. McClamp a lot. He does a really good job. He's one of those guys that has a job that's a thankless job. He works really hard behind the scenes. He's an ECU dude. So I just want to make sure – I just want to make sure that we're very clear on that, and that JJ
McClam is indeed dynamite.
Oh man, it's one of those.
I wonder if he's ate any Thelma's oatmeal before.
inside jokes are just funny.
Yeah. So I have
everybody remembers Thelma on Good Times cooking oatmeal, and yes, JJ never liked her oatmeal.
I do.
Yes, that's true. That's right.
So I do have some good news.
And Dave has some good news, and we'll never hear it. That's frozen, Dave.
Look at that frozen.
I'm back.
There you go. Look at that now. Yeah.
It doesn't get. I have a face for radio, right?
When it's frozen like that, yes.
Yeah.
Well, just think of it this way. You're better looking than Paul Feinbaum.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah. Yes.
Guys, I did want to mention, too, while we have a chance, I want to put this up here. We're going to be back. Jody is having us back. If you're looking for something to do the night before the bowl, We're going to be back at the Fisherman's Inn. And Jody Schultz, he's actually EC Hall of Famer, and he played for the Philadelphia Eagles in the early 80s. So really good dude. And he said, he texted me back really quick and said, yeah, God, I'd love to have you guys back. And they have a and I didn't know
it was official we were doing.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Okay.
Well, we have we don't have our buddy Stevie. I tell you, Stevie, by the way.
And I'm not 100% I'm going to be there, Dave. Okay. I'm 80%. I will let you know between now and then. JR, you're going to be there. Hopefully Dave's not doing it by himself.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to go now. Those rates were crazy. Jody's given like really good rates to any Pirate fan. Anybody can get the rate. 119 for a great hotel.
Do you have that code, JR, to give out?
No. I could probably find one, though.
I have it.
Hold I think on. It's a link, not a code. Is it an actual code, Dave?
It's a code.
Yeah, hold on. Let me give me 1 second. I'll look up the text again. So I'm sorry, guys. All right, here's the deal. You can call the hotel directly, 1-800-233-1233.
And it's the Hyatt. It's the Hyatt at Kent Island.
Yeah, 1-800-233-1234. You can book your reservations. Group code is G-ECU5, and it's $119 plus 11% tax. I'm telling you, folks, that's one of the best deals. It's about 20 minutes from the stadium, but hey, $120-some for a room. But again,
it's on the bay.
Yes. Yeah. And again, it's 1-800-233-1234. It's the Hyatt there in Kent. What is the name of it? Kent.
It's actually Graysonville, Maryland. But yeah, I've always called that Kent Narrows.
It's on Kent Island. And we'll put the graphic right there on the screen had the name of the town.
Okay, hold on.
The Fisherman's Inn.
Yes.
Something else, I think.
No. Unless they changed it.
Kent Narrows, Maryland. But we have Graysonville is what? I don't know.
Yeah, Graysonville right there on the screen. Yeah, it is. Okay, yes.
So anyway, and if hopefully we can get a big crowd. I know that what we're going
to
do is.
If, by the way, sorry, Dave. If you didn't cross the bridge over to Fisherman's Inn, over to Kent Island, over to Graysonville, you literally just cross the bridge, the Bay Bridge, and you come out to the island there. And it's very, very similar to the Outer Banks. So, you know, it's a beautiful area. You just cross back over the bridge and you're in Annapolis. And that's all there is to it. And on the weekends, the bridge doesn't have a lot of traffic. Now, during the week, I heard that bridge can be a nightmare to get across. But during the weekend, it's not an issue. But and 119 at the Hyatt.
Yeah,
look, in Annapolis, you can't even get the Best Western in the city itself for 119 a night. So that's a heck of a deal with that code. And I got a room at the Holiday Inn Express over there, and I may switch to the Hyatt. I'm not sure yet. First, I got to be 100% sure we're going before I bother switching the hotel. But anyway, it's a great deal. And apparently we're doing the show at the Fisherman's Inn from 6 to 9 again.
Yeah, we're hoping that by the way, Stevie, what we're going to do is maybe I shouldn't say this on the air, but we're going to kidnap you and
wow.
And then we're going to freeze up again.
And then he froze up.
Yeah.
I'm using my Jedi mind powers on Dave right now.
Stevie, you got to get off, man. You got to get off work.
Stevie and I had a blast. He and his daughter came with me to a game. We had a great time. Stevie's awesome, and I love his take. Like, I love watching the game with you, Stevie, because having your head coach background and you talking to each other.
JR, what you got to do when you're passing through Rich Square tomorrow?
Oh, gosh.
You got to stop by.
Stop by
Stevie's store. Talk to the store owner, manager.
Frank. That would be Frank.
There you go. Talk to Frank.
Not Frank anymore. Frank's son's the owner.
What?
Now.
When did that happen?
About a year ago.
Oh man, Johnny.
Well, talk to his son and tell him that Stevie needs off, that we have a bowl game and other major plans here. And look, from Lasker, it ain't but like a 3.5 hour drive up there. It's not even a far trip, Stevie.
Okay. Hey, Stevie, are you wondering at all how I know the guy that owned the place was named Frank?
I am wondering that. That did cross my mind. Okay.
I'm going to tell Stevie. You right now. I'm going to turn myself after we hear what Matt has to say.
Stevie, do they have a train in Lasker? Yeah. Yeah, we got it all. We even got a filling station, Matt.
Woo! All right. By the way, Kenny's asking for I'm to find him a karaoke bar.
Karaoke bar. Kenny sounds like he would be a trip to hang out with.
Yeah, I want to hang out with
him. How about if I brought a karaoke machine to the Fisherman's Inn and we let Kenny go at it?
Yes, let's do it. We can do it.
Well, you may get kicked out.
No, we're going to be back in the party room.
Yeah, I remember. I remember from last year.
They had really good food, by the way. Those of you that love seafood, they had very good seafood and more. And I tell you,
crab cakes.
Yeah, I tell you one thing. They, I like that restaurant because you know, like when you go into a certain type of like that being a seafood restaurant, you walk in, it's got a tremendous atmosphere. I'm big on atmosphere. It has a great atmosphere. The wait staff was extremely friendly. I thought the prices were pretty good too, especially considering seafood. So we're thankful to have him back for Jody inviting us back. It was really nice of him.
Yeah, no doubt. Very nice restaurant. Great crab cakes. Beautiful. The party room was beautiful. Very, like you said, good atmosphere. Very nice restaurant. And it's been there for forever. Jody has some great stories he told on the air about stopping by that restaurant when he played for the team, when his family owned it.
Yep.
Jody, I think, inherited that restaurant, or I don't know if he inherited it, if he took it over. That'll be fun whether I'm there or not, even if it's just JR and Dave. Stevie's going to get all
What about Matt?
Matt's, I forgot about Matt's not here, so he's.
I forgot about that. I was out of mind.
Yeah, Matt.
Can we put Stevie on remote? Couldn't we have Stevie with
Matt? Matt will be there. Yeah, it could be me and Stevie remotely. I'm hoping I'll be there. 80% chance I'll be there.
80% chance of Kyle.
Yes, 80% chance of Kyle. Cloudy with a chance of meatballs. Stevie, you got to come, man. You got to come.
Wait a minute.
Getting him.
He's actually, by the way, guys, he's looking to sponsor the show. So, you know, we got to be nice to Justin.
Forgetting, Justin, are you going to be there? Last year we had listeners. That was JR's first time on the air. We had listeners. We had listeners appear on the air. So Justin can, come be a part of the show.
The pub crawl downtown Annapolis was a blast. Yeah, it was. I know it was. And there's a lot.
Yeah, that was my one hesitation about doing the show again this year is missing out on that. That was the one thing I was – everybody talked about how good that was and how much fun they had.
Well, there's enough to do for – there's a lot to do in Annapolis. And, again, their downtown is – and, Stevie, you and I are – commissioners, their downtown is to die for. I give them major props.
I do too, Dave. And where else can you get Old Bay ice cream cone? I mean, I don't know any other place. It's Kyle. That's good. It's
great.
It's good.
That place is outstanding. They had great milkshakes.
Yeah, but I don't want Old Bay ice cream.
Try it.
I love Old Bay.
I do too. And I didn't think it would be good, but it was. What, did you ever dip french fries in chocolate milkshakes? You ever do any of that?
I have, but it's not
similar to that, like a salty sweet kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Obey is so overpowering. They must use it very sparingly.
Yeah. It's not heavy. It's good though.
And I do like Obey. One of my favorite chips is Utz's crab chips. Nobody else? Nobody else like Utz's crab chips?
I love them. I love them.
I was just listening to you. I thought Stevie was going to say something. So
No.
You thought he was going to make a crab joke?
No. Just like him chiming in.
Oh.
Waiting on Matt. We're waiting on Matt to make an appearance.
We'll be waiting all night for that.
Yeah,
The trees are giving him problems, what I heard.
Yeah, do you guys have – I did have one thing I wanted to say, guys, that I want to do really bad. is I really want to get a tour of the Naval Academy. I really love the military. And
your problem is going to be the time of the bowl game. I think a lot of people, maybe you can do it on Friday when you first get there. I think a lot of people did that Saturday morning before the bowl game last year. Obviously, that would be hard. You'd be hard pressed to do that this year. So you'd have to get it in on Friday. You know, that kickoff time for that bowl being at 11 a.m., you know, if you win, you can have a lot of fun afterwards. If you lose, depending on who you are, you can still have fun afterwards. Some people, after losses, don't have much fun. This game, at this point, even though, you know, at this point I want to beat the crap out of Pitt because all the trash are talking, just being honest with hey, not so much without Aldridge, but without John David Baker, I'm a little concerned about the offense for this game.
Yeah, I think
Matt. What does that say? Kenny come in on the pub for the pub. So, Matt, you're not going to do the show.
Okay, there you go. Well, we can get. Yeah, we'll have people there. We'll have a good time, regardless of who's there, not there. We'll
you do both, Matt. You could do the show from 6 to 8, then go do the pub crawl. I don't know what time the pub crawl starts.
7 or 8. I think you're right, Kyle. 7 or 8. They're having like a welcome reception first, Pirate Club and Alumni Association. And if it wasn't for Jody, honestly, I would be doing that. But I appreciate him having us. And it was a good place, I thought, to do the show. He actually has the private room for us. And, you know, you don't know how many times you're going to go. Like, we went to the Military Bowl in 21, 24, 25. But what if the, like, future we don't ever go back, you know?
Well, we didn't really go in 21.
I know.
Yeah,
there's there
may not be bowl games in 10 years from now. Who knows?
Nah, there might not be bowl games 2 years from now.
True. But no, about the Fisherman's Inn as opposed to the pub crawl, at the Fisherman's Inn you could have all the drinks you want, have a good time, and then just you could crawl right to the hotel. I mean, it's that close.
And the hotel is so close you can walk to the hotel.
Yeah,
and not even worry about an Uber.
Exactly. Yeah, you could. Well, you have to. It's right there.
Exactly. And Jody was he's a pirate, so, and a Hall of Famer. And for those of you that love the Philadelphia Eagles, like Stevie, I'm kidding, Stevie.
Oh,
get fired up. I'm kidding. I love Stevie's team is a great team. The Steelers and I'm not saying to kiss butt to him. Is a well-run organization.
Yeah, Justin said he's already checked out the menu, so Justin Butts is looking forward to being at the Fisherman's Inn.
He said he's going to answer. By the way, Kyle, he's going to drive you up there.
Well, there we go. That was my Jedi mind trick, cutting Dave off that time, talking about me riding on the truck again.
We might be hosting Western Michigan in the G6 playoffs in 2 years.
Yeah. I don't, you know, that, I was having that discussion last night with Bubba, and you know, as much as I would hate it, at the same time, you know, picture East Carolina's in the Final Four of these playoffs, taking on Boise State and Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. I mean, that place would be rocking. As much as I would hate for it to happen, I do think that we're headed that way. And, you know, if it does happen, you pretty much have to embrace it as much as you would hate it.
Let's see. He says, prom was good to me. LOL. Black Sherry Old Fashioned. Yup. Now he's looking at that menu.
There you go.
Yeah. What else? Is there anything else you guys want to talk about? We've been telling everybody we will break down the game. So. It's just so far ahead. And also, Johnny, it's really hard to break down the game because we don't know who's going to be on the roster and not for both teams.
Good point, Dave. I thought it was too early to try to do that tonight for sure.
There's no point in that. And, you know, we talked about the offensive coordinator search earlier in the show. Well, there's really, you know, there were some names that came out today for the defensive coordinator search, but I think really we're so early on that and we may be promoting in-house with Roy Tesh. But the offensive coordinator search, we'll dive into those names more before Sunday night and have a more detailed breakdown of OC candidates and really dive into who we think the best fit would be on Sunday night. So, guys, tune back in for that on Sunday. It'll be a more detailed discussion, and Simmons will be back with us particularly on the offensive coordinator search.
Okay, guys, I got some intel for the Sharon firing in Michigan. Apparently, Sharon, in protective custody, threatened to kill himself to his wife, left his house,
staffer,
and held knife to his own throat, said, I'm going to kill you, but you first, but then intercepted at church by police because his wife has his location.
Oh, man. Wow. That's horrible.
Jeez, that is terrible.
Yeah.
Well.
So that would be like, oh, man.
I hope he gets the help he needs. Clearly, he made a bad situation worse. You know, he lost his job, and I know, you know, there was some apparently some having an affair with a young lady on staff. But I'd be willing to bet you if they made the playoffs this year, he wouldn't have got fired. So I'll just say that now.
Yeah, that's the reason why. That's a nice out, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So, but he made a bad situation worse with his reaction, and you know, hopefully, you know, so was he threatening to kill himself or his wife or both?
Both, it looked like.
Well, yeah. I don't have a lot of sympathy for somebody threatening to kill their wife. Yeah. But if you're threatening to kill himself, I would say get the mental, you know, he needs some mental help. I believe it's the help he needs. But threatening to kill his wife and, you know, being serious about that threat, he needs to be locked up.
I take that back. It said threatened to kill himself to his wife. He left his house, went to staffer, and held knife to his own throat, said, I'm going to kill myself, but you first, then intercepted at church by police.
But you first to who?
I think to the staffer, it looks like. Left his house, went to staffer, and held knife to his own throat, said, I'm
going to kill. I wonder if that's the staffer he was having an affair with.
Oh, yeah. There you go. There you go.
That explains it,
right? That explains a lot. Explains a lot. Yes, sir.
Hey, as much as I feel bad for him, you know, you can't put yourself in that position. You can't make choices like that when you're – I think we talked about, you know, before the show started. When you have
We did. I won't say what I said before the show.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Make better choices, especially being in Michigan. You know, 2 years earlier, Michigan State, they had to fire Mel Tucker for pretty much the same thing.
Well, here's the thing, and I'll say it in a kinder, gentler way. If you're a multimillionaire and your wife's not enough for you, there's plenty of girls that ain't on your staff. And, I won't even – you guys are stupid. They're just stupid.
Well, here's the thing. And another thing is, like, I don't drink and drive. And it's funny because the people that are
– Well, congratulations for that, Dave.
Yeah, I'm not looking for anybody to pat me on the back. I'm just simply saying the people that have
– I don't do heroin.
You don't? Well, let me pat you on the back. I'm just simply saying that, in other words, make better choices if you have that kind of money, even if you're middle class, working class.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's more letting into that. If you got that kind of money, why are you messing around with a girl on your staff? There's plenty of girls out there. I mean, you're an idiot. What? You're just a complete idiot.
Yeah. So, wow. Tough. That's
Hey, who gets the job now? That's the next question.
Michigan.
Biff Pogge gets the job.
Well, for now. I don't know.
Tulane hired
Will Hall.
Will Hall.
Yeah.
By the way, how in the world he did such a horrible job, and I'm not a Southern Miss fan, but I miss that rivalry, and he did a horrible job there.
And I don't know. The players
lined up. Apparently, according to Corey Glore, who I listened to on XM yesterday, he told the story about the players lining up to go to the AD and tell him, this is why you need to hire Will Hall.
You know, Will Hall has been the OC at Tulane twice. Both times they were very successful. He was a horrible head coach at Southern Miss. He was taking over a program in complete disarray and trying to rebuild it, but you can certainly win at Southern Miss, as Huff showed this year in year one and left for Memphis. He couldn't build a program. Now, in the situation with Tulane, he doesn't have to build. He's taken over a program that's in good shape. Can he sustain it? I don't know. It is an odd decision, and I get that the players lined up outside the door. And, you know, hopefully hopefully all those players don't go transfer now.
No, they got the guy.
Not the decision I would have made, but maybe it'll work out for him. I'll be honest with you, with the exception of South Florida, I really don't like any of the hires by the American. I don't like Huff at Memphis. I think Huff will do it. FedEx has got a lot of money, and they're spending it at Memphis, so I do think he'll do a heck of a job working the portal, but I don't think Huff's a great X's and O's coach. I do think he's one of the best at working the portal, but I don't know. I will see. North Texas, the retread of Troy, West Virginia coach, Neil Brown. I think he'll do okay, but I don't think he's going to take them to the heights they're at now. So the only hire I really like is the South Florida hire of the Ohio State offensive coordinator. So, you know, if we can make the right hires at OC and DC and we can keep Hauser and some other key pieces in place, I really like us going forward in the American. You know, I think UTSA, I think Jeff Traylor is doing a decent job there. I think Rice is on the uptick. I think Temple's on the uptick. But if we can get the right coordinators in place again and keep our talent, I really like us moving forward with Blake Harrell. The key is getting these hires right. He's got to make sure, particularly on the OC, he cannot miss. I'm not that worried about the defense because Blake's a defensive-minded guy. It's kind of like when Logan was here. You weren't really worried about who the OC was going to be because you had Logan, whether it was Doug Martin or Todd Berry or whoever, because it was Logan's offense. The same kind of thing with Blake. It's Blake's defense. So the OC hire is the one he really can't screw up.
Yeah, and by the way, guys, you talk about next year. I know we have the bowl game, but we're going to be favored. I want to get your take on this, but I was thinking about looking at the schedule. The schedule is a lot easier next year.
It's going to depend on the portal. It's going to depend on the portal and the hires. I mean, you can't – I think it's too early to say who we're going to be favored against and who's going to be favored to win the conference, or if the schedule's easier, because you don't know how things are going to work out with the hires and the portal. If we have Hauser and we have a lot of these other pieces back on offense, right, and we get the right OC in here, I think we could be one of the favorites to win the league. But yeah, there, that story's yet to be told. I mean, we'll know more come the end of January.
I agree. And Temple had the best recruiting class of any team in the American. So I don't know if we should start to worry about them yet. But
well, what is that worth? I mean, at this point, what is the best possible recruiting class worth?
I think it means – yeah, the teams like North Carolina had 39 recruits. That to me tells me they're not going to do a lot in the portal. And teams that have less people, a lot of, you know, GMs are going to be like, you know, we'll do a little bit with high school guys, but we're going in the portal. So, yeah, I agree, Kyle. You can't really make too much out of that.
Not for this year. Down the road, I think you can. I do think their staff is kind of like we've been here with Roy Tesh and with Maddox. With developing linemen. They do a good job of that. I think Roy Tesh is incredible at developing linemen, which I think at this level is key for a school like us. But I think at the Group of Five level, where you don't get the kind of linemen you get at Power Four, I think developing them is key. So same with Temple. So I do think a good high school recruiting class will pay dividends for them down the line, but not so much next year.
Yeah. Hey, with that report we got at the beginning of the show, that Matt Maddox in Kansas, that wasn't official, correct?
No, that was rumored. But if they offer him, you know, with the money they're paying out and spending on football at Kansas now, then
Well. We need to keep those two offensive linemen. That's what worries me.
Yes, you guys, we'll have a – by the way, everybody's probably wondering, we will have a show on Sunday night, so keep that in mind. And we've been –
we're going to have, like I said before, we're going to have a more in-depth breakdown of the coordinator hires on Sunday. We're going to do more research between now and Sunday, and we'll have a much more in-depth breakdown of potential candidates for OC and DC.
And I want to remind everybody about Scrub Brothers, the car wash. They're going to give us some free codes, and we should have those by Sunday night, so we'll be telling you about that. So basically, yes, you go to Scrub Brothers on Fire Tower Road in Greenville, and you'll get a free car wash. You just get the code. So we'll find out more about that, and glad to have them a part of the show.
It's not code JCE?
No.
Oh, okay.
UBE, or is it you?
Another inside joke.
All right. Do you guys have anything before we get out of here? Stevie, I know, has to get up early in the morning, and I do too, but.
I don't, thank God, but not tomorrow anyway. So, but I will be getting up at some point.
All right, Johnny, anything? You're driving down, Johnny. What are you going to be listening to on the way back down to North Carolina?
Oh, I have a mix of like driving songs that I shared some of them with Kyle that I listen to. High energy, some Southern rock. Nothing slow. Got some a lot of highway, you know. A lot of NSYNC,
a lot of Donna Summers, a lot of that.
Whatever that song is that David Spade and Chris Farley are listening to on Tommy Boy when the Spanish song. Johnny's gonna be singing that on the way home, and then he's gonna be crying to Superstar.
I listen to some. If you must know, you know.
Don't you remember you told me you love me, baby?
Here you go. mostly, you know, mostly high energy, southern rock, just good stuff. Stuff that'll keep me awake. It's only so much coffee I can drink.
How about some AC/DC Highway to Hell?
No, I don't. I won't be doing that. Maybe the girl. I might be listening to the Girls Got Rhythm, but not Highway to Hell. I don't. Nope. No.
Overplayed.
I don't. No, I just don't listen to it anymore. I'm a man of faith, so I don't want to hear. I just don't want to inject that into my life. So no, I've retired Highway to Hell. I know that's boring, but
wow.
I still love AC/DC, but I don't listen to that.
I think I think the Kyle's on a highway to hell because he's so vulgar, but other than that.
No, I love Girls Got Rhythm. I love a lot of AC/DC songs.
What about TNT?
Dynamite. What about Big Balls?
Watch me explode.
Yeah, Big Balls.
Okay, That's not really high energy. Yeah.
I mean, damn, I don't know, man. Come on, not high energy. That crescendo, but we've got the biggest balls of them all. You know, some balls are shells for charity and some for fancy dress, but when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls that
those
I like.
Ones that I like this.
Oh, my balls God. Are always swinging to the left and to the right. It's my belief that all my
right,
balls
let's end this held every night. Fire right now.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me,
Stevie? What wrestler came out to Big Balls by AC/DC?
Balls Mahoney.
Balls Mahoney. That's correct.
Okay, Johnny.
What was Balls Mahoney known as before he was known as Balls Mahoney?
Oh God, I can't remember.
Boo Bradley.
Oh,
he was
Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yep.
Hey, Johnny, I've got another
one. I will say, Dave, hold on. I will say with my playlist, there's one song that I'll be listening to more than once. That's for sure. I always do. When I'm heading south from Virginia is Shooter Jennings Going to Carolina. That gets me so jacked up.
Yes, oh, I thought he was going to say John Denver Country Roads. Nah.
Kyle knows what's up. The video's fantastic as well. If anyone hasn't seen it, they like videos, check out Shooter Jennings Going to Carolina.
Yeah, great song. Great song. Shooter's a good artist. Underrated. Much prefer Shooter to Struggle. I do. If we just Struggle Jennings, he's not doing his family proud, in my opinion.
Yeah. By the way, Johnny, there's another song from AC/DC that I assume that you have retired. How about Hell's Bells?
Yeah, see, I don't, yeah, no.
But you just don't listen to any song about hell?
Shake a Leg. That's my favorite AC/DC song of all time.
Shake a leg.
Yeah, that's
all. And yeah, Giving the Dog a Bone. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Hey Johnny, what about Dirty Deeds?
Dirty Deeds.
Okay, so hey, I got a funny story about that. I dated a girl, and she was singing along when that came on the radio, and she thought they were saying "Dirty Jeans, Dungaree."
Dungaree, or is it you?
Yeah. And so now every time I hear that, that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that. I'm not hearing the real lyrics, but I like that.
Yeah, mistake the lyrics. That's I have never heard that one. I learned something tonight. All right, we're gonna get out of here. Stevie has got to cut the meat, get ready for go to Alaska.
He didn't say cut the cheese.
Yeah.
I heard you have a USDA inspection tomorrow, Stevie. That's what I heard.
Nah, I don't think so. Don't be bringing any crap like that up.
Chop. All right, we'll get out of here, guys. Enjoyed it. Had fun. A great crowd, as always. We appreciate you all. And we'll see you next time on Sunday night. And that'll be at 8 o'clock right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And go Pirates.
You're watching the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.